Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday, the 5th of February, 2020, and today, this evening, I'm talking on being free from the expectations of others. Many of you who are regulars, who've heard my story, you'll know that I went to boarding school, and one of the big things about boarding school was playing the game by the rule book. You know, there were rules for everything, and you had to do the right thing. You had to do everything just so. And if you didn't do it, then there was a system of punishment. So there was a great pressure to do the right thing. There was a great pressure to, live up to the expectations of the teachers, the headmaster, because most boys wanted to avoid the punishment that came if you stepped outside of that. There were some boys who didn't care about what people thought, and they were quite, well, I don't know whether they were happy or not, but they were willing to take the consequences of being rebellious or whatever. But I think I grew up wanting to do the right thing, wanting to please other people, wanting to live my life according to the rules. And, you know, and as we'll see later on, it's not about rules and whether we keep rules or not. It's much more about, it's all about our heart. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, John writes for us that we know that we're in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way as Jesus walked. And really, you know, when we live as sons and daughters, what we're actually doing is we're beginning to walk as Jesus walked. We're beginning to live as Jesus lived. And, Jesus only had one thing that he was concerned about, and that was to do the will of the one who'd sent him, to do the will of his Father. And he didn't care what other people thought about him, or what other people expected of him. He was totally focused on doing his Father's will. And I've discovered that there are many things that rob us of our life. And if they steal our life away, then we lose our peace. They steal our peace. And one of the big things that robs us of life and steals our peace is the expectations of others. And we're going to look at that this evening, and I hope that as we just spend a few moments at the end meditating or soaking, that we will come to a place of freedom from that weight. Because very often the expectations of other people, they seem reasonable. They may be very, very good things, but they can become like a millstone and a heavy weight around our neck. See, part of the problem is we are actually used to doing what we're told. You know, when we grow up as children in a family, we're taught to do what our parents say. You know, there's an expectation there of obedience from children to parents. And that's not a bad thing, of course. But when we go to school, we're used to being told, you know, doing what we're told to do by the teachers. When we go to college or university, or when we get a job, we're used to doing what we're being told. And it becomes very much a part of us. And, you know, in a sense, for jobs to work and schools to work and families to work, there is a sense of, you know, there is a place and a time where we need to do what is required of us. Certainly, you know, if we think of society and paying taxes and driving correctly, there's an expectation there. And it's clearly right that, you know, we should do what we're told. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight, because, you know, those things are given. We understand all of that. But this is very much about looking at the state of our heart. You see, because inside each of us, inside our heart, there's a hole that yearns for approval. And, you know, I think that's something that's really the case with many of us, is that there's something that we are trying to satisfy inside of us, and we do it by seeking the approval of other people. I think we've got this need or longing, if you like, to be satisfied through approval, because we've grown up with an essentially legalistic view of God, of what God is like. And that all goes back, and we've talked about this many times on the webcast, that all goes back to the lie in the garden. You know, can God really be trusted? Did God really say? And there was that doubt sown in, and that led to the whole fall of mankind walking off in orphan-hearted ways, feeling that they needed to try and win God's favor by doing things rather than just the sense of being sons and daughters. And so we've got this legalistic, this very narrow, this very, very restricted view of what God is like. And we think there's something subconsciously sown into our hearts that says we have to obey him in order to please him. And we'll see later on that that's completely the wrong way round. And just as we've got this legalistic view of God, so we kind of feel like we have to meet other people's expectations of us. Because if we are meeting the expectations that are put on us, we look good. And we feel like the other person is looking at us and sees us in a good light when we're doing the right thing so far as is perceived. And, you know, there's something in us that wants to win favor and win approval. But the thing that I've discovered, and I know many of us will have discovered this too, is that that hole in our heart is only truly satisfied when we hear the Father speak to us and say that we are his beloved. It's only really the Father's love that totally satisfies the longing in our heart. Anything else is just temporary, and then we fall back into this cycle of approval and expectation and so on. You know, there's something in us that seeks attention, and we may seek attention by trying to meet other people's expectations, or we may seek attention through more aggressive forms such as drunkenness, rage, abuse, wrong relationships, even possessions, even our job can be a way that we're trying to seek approval and make ourselves known, basically through our own strengths. This whole expectation thing, I think we have to see there are two sides to it. First of all, there's something in us that wants to meet the expectations that other people put on us or have of us. But so there's something inside of us that's trying to seek approval, but there's a very real sense where other people can put pressure on us to come up to a certain standard, a certain level of performance or achievement. I mean, you know the classic one, you know, your child comes home from school with 99% and the parent says, well, why didn't you get 100%? You know, I've always avoided saying that, even in jest, to my children, because I'm just aware that even as a joke, that can become a pressure or an expectation that we put on our children. And what happens when expectations are put on us in a very active way is it's very subtle, but it's manipulative control. And what we end up doing is we end up deviating from the path of trying to please our Father and looking to please other people. And we take on this pressure, and when we take on this pressure of trying to please others, what we do is we stop we stop living from the heart and we begin to wear an ill-fitting yoke. And that's just a burden. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. It's hard graft. Because the trouble is, when you try and please other people, the standard is always moving. The goalpost is always moving. And it's like you do something and you reach a certain level, and then the next day it changes and you've got to do more. You've got to do yet more. And if we bring that attitude or that way of living in how we relate to God, it's like, how can you ever know when you've done enough? I mean, how do you know when you've done enough to please the God of the universe, the creator of everything? You know, we don't know. And that is a tremendous pressure for us to live under, because we can, you know, if we live like that, we can never know when we've done enough. So we constantly do even more and even more and even more. And we end up under this burden, this ill-fitting yoke that is just the pressure. And it's never the way we were meant to live. So I kind of feel like I've laid that as a very clear foundation, that we don't need to meet the expectations and the pressures that people put on us. And God as our Father is not putting pressure on us to achieve a certain standard or level of performance. And we need to be free from these expectations of other people. They can be a real, real burden. And our Father wants us to walk free of that burden. Now, if we've got on one hand the expectations of other people, let's just consider for a moment what then is the opposite. You know, if we are to be free from other people's expectations, does that mean, therefore, that we are free to do as we please? That we're free to do whatever we want to do, irrespective? Well, the answer is no. You know, that's not the opposite. You know, the opposite of being free from other people's expectations is not doing whatever we like and saying, oh, the love of the Father will cover it. Grace will cover it. Grace abounds. You know, Paul says, you know, what then shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? No, of course not. You see, the opposite of this pressure is not the freedom to do as we like. That's actually independence. And in Judges 21 verse 25, it says, everyone, and this was a judgment, this was a negative thing, it's that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, you know, what seems right to a man leads to death. So it's very, very clear from the Bible that we're not meant to come under the pressure of other people's expectations, but equally we're not it's not a life of doing as we please or doing whatever. It's just, you know, somewhere there's a balance in the middle, and that's what we're going to try and find together. You see, the opposite of a life of control and living up to other people's expectations is not the freedom to do as we please. Jesus said in John 5 verse 19, he said, I speak to you the timeless truth. I never act independently of the Father or do anything through my own initiative. I only do the works I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same work as his Father. And I think what Jesus is giving us there is the key that we need to discover if we are to live free of the expectations of others. Jesus is saying here, I don't live under other people's expectations, but equally, I don't live in some sort of glorious independence of doing what I like. He says, this is a timeless truth. This is a truth from eternity to eternity, that he never acts independently of the Father or does anything through his own initiative. See, he's only doing the works he sees the Father doing. And what Jesus is doing there is he's revealing to us the key for us to walk through the middle of this minefield where we are free from the expectations of others, but we don't fall into this libertarianism that says, I can do what I like because grace and love abound. You know, Jesus says, no, neither of those two is right. What we've got to find is this pathway of being Father pleasers, you know, to do what the Father is giving us to do. We live in I don't know what we live in at the moment, but we live in a postmodern world, you know, where truth is no longer truth. You know, everybody defines truth, you know, themselves. There's no sort of plumb line. Truth has become very, very relative, and we define truth by our own circumstances. And therefore, whenever we do that, truth is separated from the person of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus is the plumb line of truth. And it's when we come to that plumb line of truth, the person of truth, we actually discover that we are being led to the Father. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So part of this journey to the Father is, you know, Jesus is the way, but he's also the truth, which points us to who the Father really is. And when we kind of define truth by our own standards and our own experience and our own circumstances, we are led away from this plumb line of truth, and what we end up with is a swinging pendulum that is based on our circumstances. It takes away for us, or from us, the certainty of God's word, and we end up living our lives based on feeling and circumstances rather than this clear plumb line of truth. And what we end up doing is, when we move away from this centrality of the person of truth, we create a law, a new law, which I call the law of self and the law of myself. And that can actually be more crippling than legalism, because we put this, you know, we measure everything by our own feelings, our own circumstances. And if we feel good one day, you know, the pendulum of our truth is over here. And if we feel different the other day, the pendulum of our truth is over here. And what Jesus is saying is, no, I am the truth. And that's the thing, you know, that's what leads us to the Father. That's what leads us into freedom. That's what leads us away from all of these heavy expectations that other people would want to put on us. Truth will always lead us to see who we really are, and the truth always sets us free. If we define truth, we are going to have a problem. But when we come to the person of truth and walk in that pathway, it's actually a path of freedom. See, as I said a few moments ago, there are many things that I should do. You know, for example, if I don't drive according to the rules of the UK when I'm in the UK, you know, I could have a problem, and there are consequences for me of failing to do what I should do. You know, if I break the law, maybe there's a penalty or a fine or something, and there's a consequence. You know, so there are certain sort of things that are good for me to do, because if I don't, it's going to have a consequence. You know, in relationships, for example, it's, you know, of course I should love my wife, but, you know, I do it because of the desire in my heart. And if I got up one morning and chose not to love my wife, then there would be consequences. There wouldn't be a fine or a penalty, but there would be a broken relationship. You see, and really, what you can see here is that the things I should do need to come out of my heart. You see, when I get into the car tomorrow morning, I don't think to myself, which side of the road shall I drive on? You know, shall I drive on the left or shall I drive on the right? Now, in the UK, we drive on the left. In most of the rest of the world, you drive on the right. But I don't get out of bed and think, what do I do today? It's just automatic to drive on the left-hand side of the road. Why? Because I don't want to cause anyone harm. I don't want to have an accident. I don't want to break the law. I don't want to be involved in paying a fine or a penalty. You know, I want to do the right thing because I know the consequences of doing that right thing are good. You know, it's the same in our family relationships. I want to love my wife. Of course I want to love my wife. I want to love my children. And I do it from my heart because I don't want to have the consequences of broken relationship. You see, so these things that, you know, we don't like the word should, do we? You know, I remember, I think it was Peter Jackson said, don't should on me. You know, and we don't like the word should. But actually, when we look at it, we realize there are a lot of things that we need to be doing in order to keep us away from the negative consequences of those things. But those things, we, you know, like whether it's driving on the correct side of the road or whether it's how we relate to one another, when we do that from our heart, it's because we want to walk in the right pathway that avoids all these negative consequences and implications. And so it's not so much a command, but it's a desire. And the problem with the expectations that other people put on us is it's not desire, but it becomes to us a command. And then we go back to my school days where I was doing everything by the book. You know, I was living by the rules because I, you know, I didn't want to be punished, you see. And what we read in 1 John chapter 4 is that punishment comes out of fear, but perfect love casts out all fear. And when we move away from this desire, heart desire, and we fall back into an obligation of trying to meet these expectations of other people or whatever, we are actually living a fear-based life because we feel we have to do the right thing in order to avoid a punishment. And that's a huge pressure. You see, when we live out of desire, when we want our hearts to be touched, we may not get it right all the time. We probably won't. But it's, you know, there will be times we get it wrong and so on. But in a sense, you know, it's kind of just kind of looking at where's our heart in all of this? And if we move, we can live it under condemnation rather than in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And I think the problem is when we try and live up to other people's expectations or the expectations we think that God is putting on us, we live in condemnation. And, you know, we read in Romans, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free. And really, I guess what I'm wanting us to see today is that it is possible for us to live a life free of condemnation. Because the expectations of other people, the expectations we think that God puts on us, they will lead us into a pathway of condemnation. Now, let's just look for a moment at something Jesus said. You see, we've talked about should. You know, there are certain things we should do because we want to avoid the consequences. And I hope you can see that I want to avoid those consequences out of a desire rather than out of a following a command. But let me just look at something Jesus said. You see, what did Jesus say instead of you should? He actually said, you will. Now, that sounds more of a command than should. You know, you will do this rather than you should do it. But three times in John chapter 14, Jesus gives us an instruction. Not a request, but an instruction. And he says, and the instruction is all about obedience. It's about obeying him. And if we look at those words in isolation, we will become trapped in religious duty and obligation, and we will not live in freedom. But the key to this instruction that Jesus is giving us is what comes before the instruction. See, three times in John chapter 14, Jesus says, in different ways, but basically what he's saying is, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You see, the key is not the obedience to his commands. The key is, if you love me, you will obey me. And because we live in this, because our hearts are broken, and because we live in this orphan-hearted mentality, and we live in a broken world, we see obedience as satisfying the requirements of the law, whereas Jesus sees obedience as the fulfillment of love. Now, those are two very, very different things. You know, we see obedience as something we do to satisfy the requirements of the law. And we see it like that because we're living in an orphan heart that doesn't know that we're sons and daughters, that thinks it's all about what have I got to do to please God? What have I got to do to make God love me? Well, nothing. Because, you know, how much have you got to do? How do you know when you've done enough? But Jesus doesn't see obedience as satisfying a law. Jesus sees obedience as the fulfillment of love. And, you know, when we see it that way, it's very, very different. In fact, you know, it goes back to this desire, because in Psalm 40 verse 6, the psalmist writes prophetically, you know, sacrifices and burnt offerings I do not want, but I desire, the psalmist says, I desire to do your will, O Lord my God. You see, it's like when you love someone, you want to please them. It's that simple. And I think when we really love, obedience ceases to be obedience. And it becomes the desire of our heart. And, you know, I hope you can see the big difference between those two things. That, you know, if you love someone, you want to please them. And that's what Jesus says. You know, I love my Father, and this timeless truth is that I don't want to walk, you know, why would I want to walk in an independent way when I can live to please the Father? And, you know, that's just a desire of a heart that's longing to please the Father. You see, if we see it as obedience, we will fall back into, you know, trying to come up to a certain standard, do the right thing, behave the right way in order that. But when we love, it becomes the desire of our heart. And again, we've said this many, many times on the webcast. And I think Barry said it last week, that we can only love when he has first loved us. You see, he is loving us. The question is not about his love for us. The question is, can we receive that love? You know, we can only love because we've received his love. Now, he is loving us, but can we receive it? Is our heart open to receive love? Jesus says in John 15 verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. See, In Jeremiah 31 verse 33, it says the law is written on our hearts. He said, I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. You see, when that happens, it's not a law. It's a desire of us wanting to please him. Living in love, when we live in love, God's word will cease to be a burden, but will become to us the source of life. See, many, many people that I meet, and it saddens me to say this, but many, many people I meet, they see the Bible as a burden. You know, they read it and they think they've got to do it, and what is written in that book becomes a burden to them rather than a source of life. But as we walk as Jesus walked, as we live in love, God's word to us will become a source of life. It will become a river of life. And when we live in love, as John 15 says, we will bear fruit. And that fruit will be abundant and lasting. You know, I think many of us, you know, we look at our lives and we think, have I been fruitful? And we kind of think, yeah, a little bit of fruit here and there. And maybe it's not very abundant and maybe it's not lasted. But Jesus is very, very clear. He says, when you abide in me, when you abide in love, you will bear fruit that is abundant and lasting. And, you know, that's kind of what I want. You know, it's this abundant life that is a fruitful life and is a generous life. And it's a life of freedom. And I didn't enjoy that for many years. You know, I came out of school when I was 18. And for many, many years, you know, I brought that whole way of life into how I related to God, how I did things in the church. And we would never use this word in a church or a Christian context, but we've grown up, and it's very subtle, but we expect punishment for not complying with the rules and regulations, either of the church or the rules and regulations we think that God is putting on us. And instead of living in freedom, we end up fearing the very source of love. We end up fearing our Father. We see him as a master. And other people's expectations of us have only enhanced that feeling. And so we end up striving to please God and other people. And the weight of expectation suffocates us. And it's not a good way of life. It's not the life, it's not the abundant life that Jesus promised us. The life and life in all its fullness. You know, we've settled for second or third best. And, you know, we're drowning, we're sinking under this weight of expectation. And that's, you know, that's not the path of freedom. And what the Father wants to say to us this evening is we are free from condemnation. We are free from the pressure of performance. We are free from the pressure of striving. See, he doesn't put expectations on us. He just loves us. And we are the ones that have made this millstone to go round our neck, and we can't carry it, and life becomes hard. See, God only has good plans for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us. And, you know, we think by pleasing others or trying to please God through our activity, we'll win favor. And if we win favor, we'll win acceptance. And the trouble is, it's just a vicious cycle that we get into, and we go round and round and round, trying to do more and more and more. And we just need to stop and realize that everything has been done for us. You see, love motivates, love encourages, and it lifts the heavy burden off our shoulders. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free. See, living in love is not an excuse to do as we please. It's not an opportunity to stop what we're doing, actually. You know, it's a chance to pause and consider and ask the Father what he wants us to do. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, it says, "Stop at the crossroads and consider. Consider the ancient paths, because that will provide rest for your souls." You know, he says stop. Stop at the crossroads. You know, when you're driving your car and you come to a crossroads, you stop. And it's like in America, they have the four-way stop. You stop. I can never get my head around that, but I'm learning. You get to one of those crossings, you stop. And that's what Jeremiah is saying in Jeremiah 6. He says, stop and consider. Make a choice. Which path are you going to walk? Are you going to walk the wide path of commonality that everybody's charging down, you know, performance and striving, trying to live up to all these expectations that we think about or that other people put on us? Or are we going to pause and consider the ancient path? Maybe it's a bit narrow. Maybe it's a bit hidden. But Jeremiah says, stop. Stop at the crossroads. Consider the ancient paths, because they will lead to rest for your souls. And that's what I believe we're crying out for. We're crying out for rest for our souls. And the way we find it is walking this pathway of love, where, like Jesus, we can say, "I tell you this timeless truth. I never act independently of the Father or do anything through my own initiative. I only do what I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same work as his Father." And that is the timeless truth from eternity to eternity. And that's the pathway of freedom. And we're left with a choice. See, God does not impose his will on us. He doesn't control us, he doesn't manipulate us, because true love always gives us a choice. It says in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, that grace is our tutor. You know, it's like there's a little voice inside of us that's talking to us and leading us down this pathway of life. We've always got a choice. You know, we can carry on living under the expectations of others, the weight that that brings. You know, we can choose to live a life of striving and performance, or we can choose to walk this pathway of love, where we live in love and where there's a desire in our heart to please our Father and only do what our Father says. That's the way Jesus lived, and that's the invitation he gives to us, is as we walk as he walked, is to become people who look to please the Father and not other people. There's a great pressure, I think, particularly in church, to be doing the right thing, or be seen to be doing the right thing, or to be busy and to fill up the rotas and do activities. And there's nothing wrong with those things. You know, there are some things we want to do because we want to do them, and we want to do them out of a heart of love. But, you know, I think there are times we just have to stop and say, "Father, what are you giving me to do?" You know, in Ephesians 2, it says, "God has created good works in advance for us to do." And my encouragement to you, as you've probably heard me say before, is find those things, find those good works that God the Father has created for you, those things that have got your name on it. And when you find them, do them with all of your heart, because they will be fruitful, they will bring you life, they will bring you freedom, you'll just be able to do them with a light heart instead of a heavy heart. There are some things that we just have to do because we have to do them, but, you know, let's live a life of freedom that says, "Father, what are you giving me to do? How can I walk in love as Jesus walked in love and please you?" You see, our words, the words we say, do not communicate the most, the biggest things. The life in us communicates more than the words we say. See, if I say to you, if I tell you that I've got measles, but I've actually got chicken pox, What you will catch from me is chicken pox. You will not catch measles. You see, people catch from us what is in our heart. It's not the words we say, but it's what's going on in our heart. And as people see us living in love, rather than being opinionated or living under this great pressure, as people see us living in love, they will want to live in love too. As people see us living in love, they will see the fruit that that brings to our lives, and they will want that for themselves. Truth always leads to freedom. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And freedom is the heart of sonship as we please our Father. John 8, verse 35 to 36 in the Passion Translation says, a slave has no permanent standing in the family like a son, for a son is part of the family forever. So if the revelation of being a son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. The truth sets us free. And other people's expectations, whether they put them on us or whether we think they put them on us, the expectations we think God puts on us, they do not set us free. What sets us free is the revelation of sonship, that we walk as Jesus walked. And what I'd like to do is, Barry, if Barry can just put the music on, I just want to just pray. I want just to pray that we would be set free from this condemnation, this weight, this pressure of expectation, and that the revelation of sonship would be burnt into our hearts, and that would lead us into the glorious freedom of the sons of God, the daughters of God. If you're feeling condemned, if you're carrying a heavy weight of expectation, if you feel that you can never do enough to please other people or to please God, can I just encourage you to stop at the crossroads, pause, and give the weight of expectation to the Father. Let him lift it off you. Let him lift that condemnation off you. And just ask him to once again give you a fresh revelation of sonship so you can walk in freedom. Father, I thank you. You want us to be free. I thank you. You want us to live in freedom. You want us to live in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And Father, so often these expectations, whether they're real or imagined, whether they're expectations we create, or whether they're expectations other people put on us, whether they're expectations we feel God puts on us, Father, I want to pray right now that by your Spirit you would set us free from that. That you would lift this weight of condemnation, this weight of doing the right thing, this weight of playing the game by the rule book, that you would lift all of that off us. And you would show us, Father, that we're not free to do what we want to, but we're free, like Jesus was free, to only do the things we see you doing. For that is true freedom. That is true freedom, when we do what the Father is doing, when we work with the Father, when we walk with the Father, when we're yoked to him in relationship, that's true freedom. And so, Father, I just ask now that you would set us free by your Spirit from this terrible, terrible weight. And Father, instead of looking to others for approval, looking to others for satisfaction, we would look to you, and we would allow the hole in our heart to be satisfied by love. And so, Father, I just ask that you would pour your love into our hearts, that we would know that we would know that we're loved. Father, pour your love into our hearts, that our approval would be found in you, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done. That you loved us and you brought us into the glorious kingdom of your Son. You made us alive in Christ. You seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You set us free from the burden of sin and guilt and condemnation. And you, Father, only have good plans for us. Thank you, Father. Amen.